Good afternoon, and welcome to Federated National Holding Company's second quarter 2014 financial results conference call. My name is Sam, and I will be the operator for today. Please note that today's call is being recorded. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and if you have a question at any time, you may press the star, then the one key on your touchtone telephone to queue up. Statements in this conference call that are not historical fact are forward-looking statements. Without limiting the generality of the foregoing words, such as anticipate, believe, budget, contemplate, continue, could, envision, estimate, expect, guidance, indicate, intend, may, might, plan, possibly, potential, predict, probably, pro forma, project, seek, should, target, or will, or the negative thereof, or other variations thereon, and similar words or phrases or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. The matters discussed on this call that are forward-looking statements are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in these expectations not being realized. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from what is expressed or forecasted in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties, including, but not limited to, the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call or press release issued today and other filings made by the company with the SEC from time to time. Forward-looking statements made during this presentation speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Federated National Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement to reflect new information, future events, or circumstances, or otherwise. Now, at this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Michael Braun, Chief Executive Officer and President of Federated National Holding Company. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us today to discuss Federated National Holding Company's second quarter 2014 financial results. I'm joined on the call by Pete Brajelski, our Chief Financial Officer. Our financial results for the quarter can be found in our earnings press release. Highlights, as measured against the same three-month period last year, include a 228% increase in basic earnings per share, a 117% increase in net premiums earned, a 109% increase in revenue, 82% growth in Florida homeowners policy count to approximately 152,600, and a 54% increase in gross premiums written. We are pleased to announce our strong earnings, which reflects the hard work of everyone associated with our organization, from the team that works for our company to our partners, the agents, the vendors, and our reinsurers. We remain committed to the service that has enabled us to achieve this success and the discipline of underwriting quality business. With that, we are glad to open up the call to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the star, then one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. I'll give everyone a moment. I'm showing our first question is from Arash Soleimani from KBW. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
And congrats on the quarter. Just had a couple questions here. In terms of the growth you had, how much of it came from the Allstate program this quarter?
We wrote approximately $50 million of new in the quarter, new homeowners premium, that is, and we do approximately $1 million a week within the Allstate agencies. So roughly, you could say around $13 million, just off the top of my head, of the $50 million. We're committed to all of our independent agents, the majority of the business is from the independent agents, as well as our commitment to the Allstate agents.
Okay, great. And was there anything else that drove some of the growth within the independent agent network, or was it just kind of the same, you know, reasons we saw last quarter?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything unusual in the marketplace that transpired in the second quarter. In the third quarter, we're writing around $3 million a week of new business right now, Third quarter tends to be the slower of the quarters in terms of opportunities to write new business, but that's where we're at right now.
Okay, and is your appetite, I guess, you know, I guess a bit less during hurricane season to write new business?
No, actually, we have a very robust reinsurance program. We bought the limit that we have based on the projections that we have of writing through wind season. So our appetite's not any different. It's just traditionally insurers write less business during the third quarter, so therefore there's less renewals, less expirations of existing business out there. So it's more organic of policies that are perhaps homes being purchased and so on. But we can continue to write voluntary business. That's our focus, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Sure. And switching to Monarch, you know, I think you had mentioned before on your last call that, you know, part of the logic there was that you could, you know, get the rate levels that you consider adequate, you know, by going through Monarch. You know, so with that said, would that, you know, imply that, you know, some of your other competitors in Florida wouldn't be able to get those higher rate levels either? And then if so, to what extent does that impact your, I guess, competitive position, you know, when going to get some of those policyholders? You know, would your prices be significantly or materially above the rest of the market in that sense? Or?
Sure. I think that we operate in a very granular manner. Our underwriting is very specific, and I think it's been very successful. The concern is the trajectory within Federated National at some point will slow the growth, and there's so much opportunity outside of the niche that we're in that we're looking to write business. There's a lot of quality business out there outside of our niche within the Florida market that we want to go after. We think Monarch enables us to do that. And we're very hopeful that we anticipate getting the application into the Office of Insurance Regulation here very soon. And we're very hopeful that we get approval and can be up and running by January 1. But I think those rates will be very competitive, just like the rates within Federated National are very competitive. And that requires, when you have competitive rates, you need to be a disciplined underwriter. And we will be using the exact same approach in that regard to be writing business that we believe is sustainable.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of William Myers from Miller Asset Management. Your line is now open.
Hi. Congrats on the quarter. My question is, your cash and total investments, it looks like from your balance sheet, went up $88 million in the 6 months. And during that 6 months, I think you reported about $20 million of net income. Could you walk me through the difference between how much cash is coming in and what your net income is reported?
Sure, William. When we write the policies, we're collecting the full premium. So all of that basically becomes unearned premium, which is a liability on the balance sheet, and you're only earning it 1/365th per day. So your total investment portfolio is going to continue to go up ahead of the earnings, because a lot of that's parked on the balance sheet as unearned premium until we can earn it over the course of the policy period.
Okay, and then in a similar light, and maybe just answer this, but you list total liabilities of $279 million. Is that primarily this unearned premium, or is that broken down into some other large chunks?
No, I mean, if you look at our balance sheet as of 6/31, the unearned premium is $178 million of that number. So the growth, on our balance sheet, the total liabilities going up is directly correlated to all the business we're writing.
Okay, so in a sense, those liabilities, that part of the liabilities comes down as those policies are recognized.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah, no, exactly. If we didn't write another policy today, over 12 months, that 178 would go to zero. But of course, we're writing additional policies, so as we are recognizing the revenue, you know, we're still building that. We're still in a growth mode, so that balance is not going to probably not going to come down. But if we stop writing today, you're exactly right. In 12 months, that would be zero.
Okay, great. That helps me understand. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Ron Bobman from Capital Returns. Your line is now open.
Good morning, and fine job this quarter. Also, I like the way you didn't waste our time rereading the press release like 99% everyone else does. So congrats, again, on a good quarter. I had a question about the agent environment and sort of the competitive landscape on the front end currently. Obviously, there's been a handful of new entrants, lower reinsurance costs. So I imagine it's a little bit of a changing dynamic from what it was a few years ago. Could you talk about, you know, sort of what the agency and production environment is, and maybe also talk about sort of the retention of renewal policies? Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of the agents, that's the backbone of our business. Without our agents, our business plan doesn't work. And we, we continue to build on that model and continuously service the business that comes in. The agent has to feel comfortable where they're placing that business. They want to know that the policies are going to be renewed, that questions are going to be answered timely, that that policies will not have additional premiums, things like that. So we've really established a lot of trust with our agents in terms of claims. That's why we are in the business, is paying the claims, and agents want to make sure that that's done timely. So I think the goodwill that we have with our agents is significant. New entrants in the market, it'll take them time to establish that goodwill. But I think also people are targeting different parts of the market. So I think that you're going to continue to see us writing voluntary business. As I've indicated, we're doing approximately $3 million a week right now in the third quarter. The market can change at any point, though. Of course, people can lower their rates to grab market share or change commission structures, whatever it may be. Our interest is to write sustainable, quality business. If someone feels that they can undercut us, we're not going to match it and write something that we don't believe to be profitable. So we don't see that happening in the marketplace right now, but we will continue to stay focused on our agents and underwrite quality business and write business that we believe to be profitable.
And what's retention like? Is Florida a market into itself as far as the retention ratios, renewal retention ratios that you run because of what the state's experienced in the past?
Yeah, generally ours runs approximately 88%, and that includes that's new business this year versus the prior year. So you do lose some policies throughout the year. Maybe someone sold their house and so on. But I think that I find that a lot of the business that we write is coming from other carriers. So I wouldn't necessarily classify that we are grabbing business from Citizens as they downsize. I think people are specifically targeting Citizens as a competitor. That's not how we look at it. I think Citizens is out there. It's a residual market. And that's certain carriers, that's what they're specifically targeting. But I think what we're finding is most of ours is coming from other carriers that we're just beating in the marketplace. Either our rates are slightly better or the same, but the agents are placing with us just because of their confidence in us.
Okay, gentlemen, thanks again. See you soon.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Samir Kahar from Capital Returns Management. Your line is now open.
Hi, gentlemen. We're just going to tackle this from different ends, I guess, from Capital Returns. I just wanted to get some small questions out of the way. The realized capital gains, any difference in investment strategy that's resulting in elevated capital gains there?
I think on the last call, Samir, I might have mentioned, and I am pretty sure I mentioned, that we were trying to reduce the equity in our investment portfolio. It had gotten up to like 16 to 20% just because of market appreciation. And now we can have it down to about the quarter closed at like 10.5%. So all the way from 20 down to 10.5. So in April, we sold some equities and rebalanced the portfolio, and we continue to take new cash that we receive and put it into fixed income. So all that was in April, we sold some equities to rebalance the portfolio, and it resulted in, I think it was $1.3 million after tax.
Okay.
Yep.
And any reserve development in the loss ratio either way?
No. No.
Okay. And what is your stat surplus now?
Approximately $92 million.
Okay. And what is your cash balance at Holdco as of 6/30?
As of which? About $16.5 million.
Okay. And just talking about the Monarch strategy a little bit, does that have the potential to increase submission flow from all your agents and as well as the stickiness?
Absolutely, Samir. Not only does it makes us, I think we're very relevant with our agents, it makes us even more relevant because people tend to know the niche that we're looking for, and maybe they're not looking at us in other circumstances when they should be. So, yeah, being able to say yes more frequently for our partner agents, I think that creates a lot of value in our relationship.
Okay, great. And then given the trajectory of submission flow right now and your current rate plan, I know there was some talk about different rate plans with what you think we're going to do with Monarch versus Federated. Could you see the $3 to $4 million per week of new business that you've seen in the first 6 months, could you see that increasing? Or do you think that we're kind of at a steady state now?
We can't predict the future. However, I think that trajectory has been fairly solid for a period of time, and we have no reason to believe that will change. It can change, obviously, with anything that happens in the market. Federated National Insurance Company just recently, we took a 3% overall average rate decrease. That goes into effect in September. I don't think that Monarch will really cannibalize much of Federated National's business. At least that's what we're intending before we get our rate filings into the state. We're really targeting a specific niche. So I think that Federated's niche will remain healthy, but there's just so much business out there that we're just not able to get. And in many cases, agents do want to place it with us. Our rate's very competitive, but we don't believe the rate is sufficient for that individual risk. Not that that's not a good risk, but the costs associated with that risk, number one is our reinsurance expense, and number two, what our data tells us would be our AOP, our all other peril losses. So that's why we're looking for this flexibility to have the second carrier.
Okay. Just a few questions on the reinsurance program, the quota share specifically. What is the ceding commission that you guys got on the quota share?
25%.
Okay. And where will that show up on the income statement? Will that be other income or?
No, it won't. It'll reduce our deferred policy acquisition costs. So it'll be netted against commissions we owe agents. So it just goes into the pot of it'll lower the DPAC balance. And
okay.
Then statutorily, it lowers our commission expense.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the profit commissions on the quota share, when are those calculated and payable? And where in the income statement will those show up?
They are payable at the end of the contract, which is June 30th, 2016, assuming certain conditions are met, and which are no storms or no storms over a certain dollar amount, and hitting some all other peril loss ratios, which basically you can just say under 30%. So that's when it's payable. How we're accounting for it is we are looking at the probabilities of there being no storms in 2 years based on air and RMS data provided by Aon. We're looking at our probability of being under 30% AOP. That's to gross earn, not to net. And based on weighted averages, we've determined that we're going to begin to book $14 million over the next 24 months. So in the next quarter, and it'll be pretty clear on our press release and in the queue, that we have booked approximately $1.6 million of income in the quarter that is contingent on us hitting these thresholds at the end of the contract period. So we're footnoting it because it could be reversed, right? If there's a storm or if our book runs hotter than we anticipate, that income could be reversed. So that's the way we're going to book it.
Okay, and that shows up in other income, or?
Yeah, we haven't decided how it's either going to show up in other income or contingent income. We'll come up with something, but it'll be clear.
Sure.
And on the conference call, Mike and I will make it clear where that is, and we will footnote that it could be reversed if these conditions aren't met.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just on the quota share percentage, can you help me understand, you know, the justification of actually doing the quota share? Why do it now? Why 30%?
Yeah,
is the right amount?
The driving factor behind that was obviously the reinsurance market is abundant, the capital in the market, and there was an appetite from some of our reinsurance partners that wanted to be on our program, and it would be more efficient for them to do it via quota share. So as you can see, we haven't done quota share on our homeowners book really since inception for the last 15 years, never had it. And I'm not necessarily a fan of quota share. However, we saw the opportunity to protect our shareholders and policyholders by actually saving money day one. And on top of that, if there's no storms and our AOP performs as we expect, that there could even be more of a bonus associated with it. So it's hard not to take that opportunity with some of our quality reinsurers to just structure our program a little differently. And like I said, the focus is protecting policyholder surplus and our shareholders, and we think we did that while saving even more money.
Okay, and can you help me understand what 30%?
30%.
Well, I was just going to say, in the context of a $40 million equity raise, you know, could you have done a larger quota share and raised less? Can you help me understand that balance?
Well, basically, the 30% just came from that the quota share is stepping in and helping us not only with our retention, but primarily layer one. Layer one going up to $100 million. So the quota share affords protection for two events up to $100 million year one, two events up to $100 million year two. So where the, I guess the inflection point within layer one of where XOL, excess of loss, worked better and where the quota share worked better, that's where we were most comfortable. But we absolutely had flexibility that we could have done more or less quota share, obviously. Separately, that capital raise, our intention is to make sure that we always have sufficient capital on hand to support our insurance carrier, even though quota share can give you a statutory surplus, can give relief on statutory surplus. It's our intention to always have capital on hand in case that quota share needs to be unwound for any reason, that we are comfortable with all of our ratios.
Great. And just on the capital raise, what do you guys think of the timing of it? And how much do you intend to push down to the subs?
There's not a lot that we can add to that. We think that we're really executing on our plan. We think that Federated National has growth that it's demonstrated and opportunities in front of it. We think we're very hopeful that we can get Monarch up and running with regulatory approval. Writing business requires capital, and we believe it's a good time to do so. To continue growing our company and protect our policyholder surplus and protect our shareholders with adequate capital, not too much and not too little. So we think everything's kind of lined up at the time.
Okay. All right, great, guys. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Samir.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Doug Ruth from Lennox Financial. Your line is now open.
Hi. Congratulations on the beautiful report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any change as far as who the core customer is for you in the third quarter of 2014?
No. Federated National, we've really targeted a niche within the Florida property market, and that remains constant, and we don't see that changing. There's some seasonality to the expiration of policies within Florida, as we said a little earlier,
But the third quarter tends to be the slowest quarter for domestic carriers in Florida to write new business. But we're still targeting the same type of risk.
Okay. And how would you describe the relationship with Allstate? Does it appear to be stable at this point?
Absolutely. We were very fortunate to do a roadshow with them the last 2 weeks. There's only a total of six carriers that are in the state that were invited to present. And those carriers, we had the opportunity to go in front of all the Allstate agents in the different cities around the state, from St. Pete into Orlando to Jacksonville, and then Fort Myers, Miami, and then into Plantation. And to deepen our relationship and deepen the understanding of how we can help them and the agents and their Allstate corporation, as well as how they can give us the business that we're targeting. The process works in an Allstate agency that they see if their in-house carrier, which is called Castle Key, will take the risk, which in most cases does not. Then it goes into the iVantage platform, which is their general agency, Allstate's general agency. And that's where, as long as those admitted markets will take the risk, the process stops and the agent will place it there. If no one will take the risk, it then goes into Citizens, which then would go through this clearinghouse process where the other carriers in the state have an opportunity to get the business at that point. But that clearinghouse mechanism comes after the first level and the second level, the first level being Castle Key looking at the risk, and the second level being the iVantage partners looking at the risk. So I think we have a great relationship, not only with the corporation Allstate, but also with their agents. And I think it's a successful partnership.
Sounds terrific. Could you talk about the employee count now and what you think, and what are you hiring additional people at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. We're up to around 210 people, and we're continuously hiring quality folks. Retention is not a challenge. Always bringing in quality people is not as easy as it sounds, but I would say that we are staffed where we need to be. However, to stay current and ahead of the trajectory, we continue to staff up. Majority of the growth of personnel comes on the underwriting side / customer service and processing, as well as on the adjusting side. We continue to add not only desk adjusters, but field adjusters. But we have sufficient office space, our IT infrastructure, everything that we need to do to run our business, we feel is there in place.
And then, is there any additional changes planned for the investment portfolio now, or do you like the portfolio with the stock and bond composition?
Doug, I think that we're going to continue to focus on lessening the equity portion of the portfolio. Try to get that around down to 8% of the portfolio, and we continue to stay short in duration, only because it's inevitable, I think, that rates are going to go up, and we want to be in a position that we're not too far out on the curve, that we get killed with bonds that are dropping in value because rates are going up. So we continue to monitor the duration of the portfolio to keep it under 3.5 years, and we look to lessen the equity position.
I like the strategy.
Okay.
Could you talk some about Citizens and where you think they are in the industry at this point?
Yeah, Citizens peaked at around just about 1.5 to 1.6 million policies. Excuse me. The last number that I have is a little over 900,000. And Mr. Gilway, who runs Citizens, has spoken that he'd like to get it down to in the 500,000 range. I don't know if he'll be successful getting it down there. We'll see. But there's clearly that effort, and I think that's admirable. In terms of the growth of Citizens, policies, before they can go into Citizens, have to go through this clearinghouse mechanism. And I think it's great. What it does is it ensures that risks that can be placed in the voluntary market don't go into Citizens. But I think this mechanism has worked a little differently than originally expected. Because it's such a process, my understanding is a quote can take 30, as much as 40 minutes. It's having the desired outcome of limiting citizens' growth, because the agents can be a bit frustrated trying to get a quote to go into citizens and the clearinghouse mechanism. So I don't think that citizens will grow, and I think they'll continue to downsize. I just don't know how low they'll get. Perhaps they can shed another 100,000 policies by not being written organically or through DPOPs. I'm not sure. Maybe it is another 300,000, 400,000, 500,000. Time will tell.
Okay. Could you share your vision, Mike? How could Federated look in, I don't know, 1 to 5 years? What size could the company be, and how much of the market could you possibly have somewhere in the future?
Well, you know, I'm always reluctant to make those strong forward-looking statements, but I think that Federated National and hopefully soon Monarch National, I think we're really poised for success. I think our overhead is lower than most. Our expense is lower than most. Even our general agent's commission, that's our MGA and what we pay the agent, is significantly less than our competitors. That instantaneously gives us a cost advantage. I think our AOP program and our claims process is strong, and we pay promptly, fairly, and quickly, which will continue to keep our ratios in line. And I think we do a very good job modeling our reinsurance program. I think there's an opportunity for Federated National to grow significantly. We're only at 2.6% of the market, and I get that question all the time. And I don't know if Federated National can grow to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8% of the market, but somewhere in that range, I believe, I'd like to, that we can get to at some point. Anything can happen. Circumstances can change in the market, new entrants, competitors, and so on. I believe Monarch can have the similar success, because I believe we're going to it's going to be well received by our agents. It's going to be run professionally, and everyone can expect the same level of service. And as long as we can get our rate structure where we think we can grow the business, I think there's a tremendous opportunity. And once again, we don't know how big that can get, but I think there's a great opportunity for us to grow both of these companies in the foreseeable, like you said, 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
But I want to make sure everyone understands there's no race. There's no mandate that we need to grow. Our growth will only come if we believe it's sustainable and it's profitable. So if we can get to that size, that's great. But we are focused on the bottom line earnings of the company and the ability to have an underwriting profit.
I like it. Thank you for answering my questions, and congratulations again on a great quarter.
Thank you, Doug.
And our next question comes from the line of Arash Soleimani from KBW. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Just had a couple follow-ups. Can you provide net premiums written for the quarter, please?
Net premiums written?
Yeah.
Well, gross premiums written for the quarter was $107 million, so net premiums earned was $51. I think you meant gross premiums. Do you mean gross premiums earned or written? Because gross premiums.
No, I meant net premiums written. I didn't think I saw that one.
Net premiums written. Well, you don't write. It's written premium minus your ceding gets to your net premiums written. We don't really track that. So we have gross premiums written, gross premiums earned, back out the ceding, and you come to net premiums earned. So you won't see net premiums written.
Oh, okay. I had seen it in the last few press releases. It wasn't in there this time. I think you guys had gross premiums written minus gross premiums ceded, and then net premiums written.
Yeah. Well, it became a little confusing to a lot of people with the prepaid reinsurance and everything
okay.
else. So now it's more streamlined. It's just here's gross premiums written, gross premiums earned, net premiums earned. The difference between the gross premiums earned and net premiums earned is what we ceded for CAT reinsurance and other reinsurance programs we have.
Okay, no, that's fair. I like it that way better, to be honest, so I appreciate that
okay.
change. I just wanted to confirm, I think you said on the duration that you try to keep it under 3.5 years. Do you have, a more specific, is 3.5 the right number to use for your duration, or is it actually less than that?
It is about 3.49 years.
3.49, okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. And just in terms of your, looking this quarter, year over year, your loss ratio and expense ratio had improved. So I guess I'm just trying to get a grasp on, what is it that drove some of that improvement? How should we kind of think about that going forward? Are there certain factors in play that should continue to benefit that ratio? Or, is that sort of lumpiness? Just trying to make sure I understand the progress there.
I think Mike can add to this. Quarter to quarter, there can always be a large claim in a given three-month period. But what you see is anywhere between that 47 and 52 is where we bounced around the last couple of years. Why it's come down recently, and Mike can talk to this more than I mean, we have less concentration in South Florida, which is, more public adjusters. I'll let Mike comment on that.
Yeah, the other thing you got to know is with our rapid growth, we really went to great lengths to make sure our shareholders understood that we are getting a tailwind of sorts, where reinsurance was locked in for the prior four quarters. So last year's program of $68 million for our CAT program, $68 million. So let's call that $17 million a quarter.
Right.
And now you'll see that we have our new reinsurance program, which is $117 million. So you'll see that came online partially June 1, but really July 1.
Right.
So you'll see that reinsurance expense, let's call it 120 for easy math. So you're talking $30 million of expense that we'll have in third quarter versus the $17 million. And we're really strong advocates of reinsurance and sustainability. Our reinsurance program has over $1 billion of single event limit and $1.5 billion of aggregate, and that's imperative. And, yes, we haven't had any claims on that since 2005, but we're very happy to have that protection in place and to be able to have those partners step in when needed. This most recent quarter, a large loss, a fire that we had was about $1.7 million, and because of our reinsurance program, we took $500,000 of it net. So we're all about sustainability, and sometimes it's easy to say, why do you spend so much on this or that, the reinsurance included? But we are here for the long haul, and there's going to be events that happen to an insurance company, and we want to be covered to make sure that we can pay our policyholders as quickly as possible.
Okay, great. Because I've in terms of your expense ratio, I know you've mentioned 40% is sort of the number there. I mean, is that, do you think, too conservative of an estimate? Because that also looks like it's been, trending down.
Well, just to piggyback on what Mike said, you got to remember, we've grown significantly. So the numerator has stayed at $17 million, and the denominator is growing because we're writing a lot. So a big part of that expense, the drop down to 30%, is because our reinsurance, the numerator, has stayed at 17 while we continued to write business, which has caused earned premium to grow quarter over quarter. So, now that we're into this new reinsurance treaty starting third quarter, I think you're going to see that number come back up. Not the 40%, because as Mike said, our fixed costs are relatively low. We run an efficient operation, so our fixed costs are going to remain pretty low. What's going to change in the numerator is the reinsurance is now 117 divided by 12 months, and then all of our other costs are variable as we write business. So, is 42 conservative? Perhaps. Is 30 continued? At 30%, I think that's wishful thinking. So somewhere in the middle.
But should ceded as a percentage of gross earned go down because it's cheaper, or?
Well, we also we did buy more coverage this year. So you're saying ceded reinsurance versus earned premium?
I'm saying if you look at the ceded premiums earned divided by gross premiums earned, should that start to go down since your 2014-2015 program?
Well, I would say, generically speaking, the way we look at Florida is our CAT program reinsurance typically should be, let's say, 40, 42,
right,
in that range, percentage of premium, maybe 42.5. Sometimes it's been higher than that in the past because of volatility,
right,
pricing, and so on. We're clearly below that, and that's assisted in part because of our growth. So in a more it should trend back higher as growth slows at some point, or the $3 million, if we continue doing $3 million a week of new, that becomes a less of a growth as a percentage of growth premium. It's less impactful in the future. So I think you're going to see it inch up somewhat.
And as you saw in our last press release, Arish, in the first quarter, we said that you got to remember all the business that we wrote in the fourth quarter of 13 and the first quarter of 14, all that business that we wrote that we were getting some earned premium on, there was no reinsurance on that business because we wrote it no reinsurance expense because the business was written after September 30th. So now, you know, so we got earnings on what we wrote in the past 6 months with no reinsurance expense associated with it. And now beginning July 1st, there is a reinsurance expense associated with it. So you're not going to see the ratio stay at 30%, and I don't think you're going to see it at 40%.
Okay. And would you say that for an insurer such as yourself that purchases so much reinsurance, does it make sense to say that book value may be sort of artificially depressed since the gap reserves are gross as opposed to net?
You know that's up to you to decide and all the other shareholders. We're here to run a business that we think will be here for the long term, and that includes buying a lot of reinsurance, and that's what we're going to do. But for the valuation, that's something that you're going to have to do on your side.
Yeah, we're very conservative. I mean, our reinsurance purchase, our retention is 8.6% of June 30th shareholder equity. 8.6%, extremely conservative. To Mike's point, you know, we're building this company for the long-term viability, and we're protecting the balance sheet. 8.6 is an extremely, and I probably one of the lowest in Florida, retention compared to shareholder equity.
Oh no, I mean, I totally agree with that. I wasn't questioning that at all. I was just trying to ask if, if just from an accounting point of view that makes sense, not that it implies anything else about the, you know, stability or...
Yeah, we're not gonna, like Mike said, we're not going to opine
on that. That's fine, okay. And then I think you mentioned to one of the prior, in response to one of the prior questions, you said, you could get market share anywhere from the neighborhood of, 3 to 8% over the next 3 to 5 years, depending on what market trends and fundamentals are looking like. And then you said that Monarch could have a similar opportunity, or would that 3 to 8% include Monarch, or would Monarch have a separate kind of goal in your head?
To clarify on that, we don't have a specific trajectory mapped out. It's impossible to know.
Right.
However, currently Federated National is at 2.6%. I don't know how big we can get it. Clearly we're not gonna get to 50% of the market or 25% of the market or whatever, with one single set of rate rules and forms. So there's no hard number on there. There's market out there that we're trying to grow into. So we don't know where we're going to wind up, but clearly we think there's potential for us to continue growing the company, not only in Federated National, but alongside of that, Monarch National.
Okay, great. Thank you for all the answers.
Thank you.
And our final question comes from the line of Rich Wilson, private investor. Your line is now open.
Hi. I'd like to extend on a question that the previous gentleman asked and perhaps asked an additional one. I think it might be helpful if you basically break down your business model into the composite elements. And what I mean by that is if you start with gross premiums being 100%, and then you said reinsurance costs are typically 40 to 42.5. Can you then tell us what you envision losses in LAE and then administrative costs to be?
We target around 28 to 30% for loss in LAE, and 42% for reinsurance.
Yeah, and the other acquisition, you could say it's going to be in the low 20s. And this is all
for
statutory.
Basic admin.
That's all statutory, which translates into GAAP, but there's other moving pieces because of our MGA and our ability to earn fees.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very helpful. And can you tell me, is that basic model any different with the new policies than you're writing than the existing book?
No, it's similar. And basically, it's not a hard rule. So let me clarify. Reinsurance along the coast is a bigger part of the premium than reinsurance when you get inland towards Orlando. If you call Orlando inland, it's only 50 miles in. Reinsurance is a bigger part of the premium in southern Florida, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, than what you'll have up in the northern part of the state, such as Jacksonville. So we speak in generic terms. However, we operate far more granular because it varies by county, it varies by territory, it varies by distance to coast. There's so many variables, but we're just giving you a rough statement, generic to Florida.
I understand. That's very helpful. Okay. In addition to that, can you talk in a little more granularity about commissions and your average commissions, and are commissions that you pay in different areas any different from what others pay?
Generally, our commissions, the last number I have, average 11.6%. Those are very competitive. There's a lot of different things that people do with commissions. Some of them may have lower in certain parts of the state, higher elsewhere. Ours tend to be more simplified so that our agents understand what they're going to be paid to produce that business. But we believe we're competitive in the commissions. We believe our prices are competitive, and our services is really what differentiates us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time.
Well, Pete and I would like to thank everyone for dialing in, and those are some great questions that we really appreciated so that we could tell you more about Federated National and primarily where we operate, which is Florida. So if there's questions in the future, please don't hesitate to reach out to us, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may now disconnect.